Thank you, Lord, just for your presence here that you are, Lord.
Thank you very, very much, Kitty, for that wonderful time of worship. Well, the story is told of Sarah Winchester, whose husband had acquired a fortune by manufacturing and selling rifles. After he died in 1918, she moved to San Jose, California. Some of you have been there. Because of her grief and her longtime interest in spiritism, Sarah sought out a medium to contact her dead husband. The medium told her, as long as you keep building your home, you will never face death. Guess what? Sarah believed the spiritist, so she bought an unfinished 17-room mansion and started to expand it. The project continued until she died at the age of 85. Guess how much it cost? It cost $5 million at a time when workmen earned 50 cents a day. The mansion had 150 rooms, 13 bathrooms, 2,000 doors, 47 fireplaces, and 10,000 windows. And Mrs. Winchester left enough materials so that they could have continued building for another 80 years, almost her age when she died. Well, today, that house stands as more than a tourist attraction. It is a silent witness to the dread of death that holds millions of people in bondage. Perhaps you are stunned and shocked at Sarah Winchester's very expensive and extravagant attempt to avoid death. No doubt it was expensive, but it was not effective. She could have been far better off if she had put her trust in Jesus Christ to deliver her from the fear of death. So this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me from His Word today to deliver to you at this crucial hour in your life and my life. Please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth and transformation, is ready and resolved to plant the seed of God's truth, precious and powerful truth, in order to change and conform those among us here today who are true, genuine, born-again Christians more and more into the blessed image of Jesus Christ, of whom we sang, and to call and convict lost sinners of their sin of unbelief, mercifully and miraculously leading them to genuine repentance and personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the rescuer and the redeemer of lost sinners. So then, here is my message in a nutshell. Would you please pay close attention to it with an open heart and an open mind? Here is the message in one single sentence for you and for me. The best way, listen, to face our inevitable appointment with death is to believe in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. I repeat, it is the simplest message that God has given to me to deliver to you today. But it is the most significant message for you and for me at this crucial hour. The best way to face our inevitable appointment with death is to believe Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the family and fold of God, in the flock and fellowship of God, The Bible is going to clearly and convincingly teach us today that every person, that includes you and includes me, has but a single life before eternal judgment. It will show us in simple and plain language today that the teaching of reincarnation is a big, bold, and bad lie. So please, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn them to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 to 28. Will you please listen carefully as I recite this passage of study from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of our Bible into our English language. The Bible says, "And inasmuch as it is appointed for man to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation, without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await him. To those who eagerly await him." This is the word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. And may the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. Friends, if you are a good student of the Bible, you will discover that the key theme of the book of Hebrews is the absolute superiority of Jesus Christ. Jesus is superior over everything. He's superior in his person, that is, he's superior to angels, he's superior to Moses, the prophet of God, he's superior to Aaron, the high priest of God. In short, Jesus is superior. Look no further. Hebrews, that book, presents to us also the perfect work of Jesus Christ, that is, his work on behalf of sinners. And what is that work? That is, he appeared to put away sins. It also portrays the personal sacrifice of Jesus Christ. How did he put away sin for you and for me? Well, he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. In other words, in his own body, Jesus bore the punishment which our sins deserved. He received the penalty you deserve and I deserve. The book also points us to practical spiritual matters pertaining to all people, whether rich or poor, great or small, black or white. This book points us to practical spiritual significant lessons that you and I must deal with. One of these practical, spiritual, and significant teachings concerning earthly dwellers like you and me is found here in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 to 28. Now, please allow me to break it down for you in small bites so that you can see what the Bible is saying here for yourself. First of all, notice what it teaches us regarding our appointment with death in verse 27. We often talk about our appointment with our doctor, our boss, our teacher, our best friend, our pastor, or a social worker, or a correction officer. But there's an appointment we don't often think about, let alone talk about. But today, whether you like it or not, the Bible is going to speak to you about that appointment. And that appointment is appointment with death. So please, I want you to say with me today, appointment with death. Appointment with death. Notice the Bible says in verse 27, it says, "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment." It is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Well, the Bible is now speaking to us about the one death man that is you and I, die. Later in verse 28, it will speak to us about the one death Christ died. You see, friends, there is finality about both, but very different consequences, as we will see in a moment. Notice the Bible says it is appointed or laid up or reserved for man to die once. In other words, men are destined to die once. Please notice very carefully that the appointment for men to die once is a divine appointment. God, listen, who gave you life and gave me life in the first place, also made an appointment for your death and for my death. In other words, this is not something within your control or my control. Although sometimes people want to take that in their control. You see, a condition of life here on earth is that it inevitably ends in death at God's appointed time. I tell you, folks, the appointment to die once is one appointment everyone will keep. That was what Mrs. Sarah Winchester was trying to avoid by building onto a mansion. And it worked for several years. But the appointment came at the age of 85. When she could no longer continue adding on. I tell you, folks, the appointment to die once is one appointment everyone will keep. Of course, there have been very, very rare exceptions. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, remember that Lazarus died twice. Another exception will be believers who don't die even once, but who will be caught up or raptured and meet with the Lord Jesus in the air and be with him forever. We see that in the Bible when Enoch and Elijah, without dying, were caught up in the heavens. They never died. So apart from these very rare exceptions, the Bible says, as a general rule, you have and I have an appointment or reservation with death that is scheduled to take place. And my friend, when it takes place, you won't miss it. And I won't miss it when that appointment day comes. Now, please notice very carefully that the Bible didn't stop at revealing our appointment with death. It goes on a step further to relate to us that something very important happens or comes after death. Perhaps you may be asking, do we really know what happens after a person dies? Well, some tell us with conviction that nothing at all happens after death. How many of you have heard that? I've heard that. They say this life is all we have. After we die, we cease to exist. Some tell us with confidence that depending on how we perform here on earth, or even if we perform better, we will make a comeback to a better human existence. Or if we don't do well, then perhaps if we make a comeback to this earth, we will come as animals. And I find that very discouraging. But I tell you, that is the doctrine of reincarnation. But I tell you, friends, the Bible strongly and steadfastly refutes these views. With clarity and certainty, the Bible minces no words regarding what really happens after a person dies. You say, what really happens after a person dies? Maybe you know somebody who has just passed away recently. I remember a few years ago when I came here, there was a man who sat with a man, who slept with a man, and the next morning, that person died. And it was a shock to him. So death happens in all kinds of ways. But the Bible rejects any idea that there will be a second chance to believe after death. Notice immediately after the reference that it is appointed for man to die once, the phrase comes the phrase, after this comes judgment. You see, my friends, there is no hint at all of any intervening opportunity for change of status. In other words, there is no second chance after death. Please make no mistake about this. Man dies and then comes what? The judgment. This makes death more serious. Why? It is because it is followed by divine judgment to be executed by the judge of the universe, who is none other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, folks, men are accountable. And when I say men, I mean also women are accountable after death. They will render account to Almighty God. I know today that judgment is not a popular topic. You know what is a popular topic today? Joking is what is a popular topic today. But the Bible teaches that judgment is coming. As sure as death itself, judgment awaits. And now please understand that at God's judgment, there will be no higher court of appeal should the verdict not be to your liking. Here today, if somebody is taken to court and they don't like the verdict, well, they can appeal. Well, but that's not going to be the case at the judgment throne of God. If you hope for a favorable verdict in his court, there is only one way. You put your trust, your confidence entirely on Jesus Christ. So again, the best way for you and for me to face our inevitable appointment with death is to believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, you can rejoice and give thanks to God that his judgment of you, listen, will be based on the perfect work and life of his Son Jesus Christ. Not on your performance. It will be judged on the perfect work of Jesus, the Son of God. But if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, you face an unfavorable judgment without Jesus after death. Judgment, not joy, will be in store for you. Well, after making it vividly clear that men must die once, and that they must be judged after death, the Bible now directs our attention to the atonement of Christ in verse 28a. But by that I simply means Christ's selfless and sacrificial service of sacrificing himself for our sins. That is why the Bible says, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many. What love is this that paid so dearly that I, the guilty one, may go free? Actually, the word so, where's my handkerchief? I thought I had my handkerchief in my pocket. But actually, the word so, used in verse 28, tells us that there is some similarity to what has been said earlier in verse 27. And what is now being said in verse 28. So. And also it tells us that the word. Thank you, man. The word once. You notice that the word once is used in verse 21 once. And then verse 28 once. But you say, what's the point you are trying to bring to our attention? Well, please listen carefully now. Here's the point. The Bible is saying, like all men, Jesus Christ was also divinely appointed to die once. He died once as an offering for the sins of many. However, unlike other men, he would never face judgment. So that's the difference. He died once, like you and I will die once, if he never returns to come for us before that day comes. But he will never face judgment like you and I will face judgment, because he took our sins upon himself. He took our judgment upon himself. But the judgment was for our sins, not for his sins. He had none at all. Jesus died the one death that judgment demanded. You see, since you and I are not able to atone for our sins, God's judgment demands that we pay it or have a substitute pay for us. And that is exactly what Jesus did on the cross. God, the Bible tells us, made him to become sin for you and for me, so that we may become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You see, friends, the good news today is that the Bible is teaching you and me that Jesus took care of our sin problem. If some of you here are struggling with sin today, the Bible wants to assure you today that Jesus took care of your sin problem. Jesus is God's perfect and permanent solution for our sin problem. In other words, Jesus is the answer and the cure of the disease of sin. You and I have our sin problem solved once and for all by the death of Jesus Christ. Well, having spoken clearly about our appointment with death, that is, man must die once and then face judgment, and having stated concisely one of the major teachings of the Bible, that is the atonement of Christ on behalf of sinners like you and me, the Bible now goes on to confidently share something that is very, very dear to the heart of God. But you ask, what is that thing that is very dear to the heart of God? Well, the answer to your question brings us to the third and final teaching point of our gospel message tonight. That is the appearance of Christ a second time. In the final part of verse 28, we have the appearance of Christ a second time. Please make no mistake about this. The world will not continue the way it is today without Christ's decisive and definitive appearance to bring human history to an end. The Bible says Christ will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. Remember we sang, the one who was, who is, and who is to what? Come. That was not just a coincidence. It was to teach us or confirm to us that Christ will appear a second time. Notice the certainty with which the Bible discloses this truth. It says Christ will appear a second time, not maybe. It's bound to happen. It's a guarantee. Notice the Bible also clearly states Christ's purpose for appearing a second time. I tell you, friends, when Jesus appears the second time, it will not be to settle the sin question. It will not be to deal with the problem of sin. He will not be concerned with sin. Why? He finished that work at the cross at his first appearing. He dealt finally and fully with sin at his first coming. There is nothing more that he should do. Remember when he was hanging on the cross, he says what? It is finished. That work is done. In other words, Christ completed his work of removing sins by the sacrifice of himself at his first coming. At that time, he saved us from the penalty of sin. At his second appearing, the second time, the Bible says he will bring salvation. He will bring salvation. You see, there is a sense in which salvation has been brought about at Christ's first appearance when he died on the cross. But there is another sense in which it will be brought to its completion when he returns. When that happens, I tell you folks, true believers will be blessed with their glorified bodies and be forever beyond the reach of sin. Sin will never ever encroach upon your life and my life when that day comes, when he returns and you are given his glorified body. Please notice also those who are the concern of Christ at his second appearing. Who will he be concerned about? Will it be everybody? Well, the Bible says those who are eagerly looking for, awaiting, expecting the Lord's coming. This is a blessed and beautiful description of all true believers who are expecting his second coming and are preparing for it. It's not just to say I'm expecting Christ to come, but also preparing for his coming. And the question to you and to me is, are you truly preparing for that coming? Well, you see, on the Day of Atonement, the people of Israel eagerly waited for the high priest to come back out of the Holy of Holies. When he appeared, they knew that the sacrifice on their behalf had been fully accepted by God. He had done everything right. In the same way, when Christ appears at his second coming, it will be confirmation that he did everything right and that the Father has fully been satisfied with the Son's sacrifice on your behalf and my behalf. Please listen. If the people of Israel were so eager to see the former high priest reappear from the earthly Holy of Holies, how much more should Christians today eagerly look for the great high priest to appear from the heavenly Holy of Holies? So what does all this mean to you and to me? Well, if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible wants to remind you today that you have an inevitable appointment with death. So the question to you is, how are you living your life today? Are you living your life for self? Or are you living your life for the Savior? Are you spending your life on excessive alcohol consumption, drugs, porn, and other self-destructive vices? Or are you even being tempted to go and contact a medium to tell you how to avoid death or how to live longer? Please, if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ today, I urge you to turn to Jesus in humility. Tell him all about your failures. He bore your sins, and he can forgive you. Trust him to cleanse you from all your failures, from all your sins, and to empower you to live for him, not for yourself any longer. And thank Jesus that your sin is on him, and that when he appears a second time, it will be for your salvation, not for your judgment. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I solemnly say to you today, your sin is on you. If you have not accepted the sacrifice of Jesus, if you are not trusting in Jesus as your Redeemer, if you have not surrendered your life to Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and if you have not called upon the Lord the name of the Lord Jesus to save you from your sins. If Jesus is no authority to you, then let it be known to you today that after your appointment with death, there is nothing more for you but the judgment of the great white throne. And may I say to you today, no one who appears at this judgment is going to be saved, because there is no second chance. So today, if you recognize that your sin is on you, there is nothing that can remove that sin but the death of Christ. So I urge you today to come to Jesus just as you are and confess to Jesus that you are a sinner in need of his salvation, and call on the name of Jesus with childlike faith that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried to put away your sins as far as the east is from the west, and that he rose on the third day to bring you into a right standing with him. In other words, your sin will be on him, and you will escape the judgment that he will render after you die. So the ball is now in your court. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you have heard this message, you recognize that you are not living your life the way you should live. As I said, Jesus is here to forgive you. You don't have to carry the burden of sin with you tonight. You can give it to Jesus. Whatever your sin, whatever your struggle, you can bring it to Jesus and he will take care of it. And he will also give you fresh hope to live out the purpose for which he gave you life. And if you are not a believer in Jesus, then you come to me. You come to me and I'll pray for you. And I know that you have been, we have a few minutes, so your food will be waiting for you. So don't run away. Do business with Jesus today and go with the confidence that he will be with you and strengthen you and sustain you, whatever you are going through today. So the ball is in your court. Who wants to be prayed for? We ask you to stand up and step up to the plate.